as many of you have found, we have gotten to the point where we find some very rich and really precious jewels and doctrines in the things of the Lord. And just as Brother Ray was singing a little bit earlier, we know that the Lord, our God, was the creator of all the heaven and the earth. And even as he reveals himself, as we're going to see, even here to the nation Israel in the book of Exodus, and corresponding passages all down through the Old Testament there, we're going to see that as God reveals himself to Israel, he also reveals in the same manner that he is the one that created the heavens and the earth. And he uses his power over the creation to help bless and to curse those that either believe or choose to walk in disbelief, as the things we're going to show here today. And we're also going to look at the two two aspects of God's both blessing and cursing both the Israel in accordance with their faith or non-faith, and also his cursing and blessings to the rest of the world in accordance with their faithfulness or unfaithfulness, or whichever that would be. And so as we do that, we're going to see that, and even as we go down through all the Old Testament from the very beginning, as God revealed himself to man, God knew how much a revelation would do them good for and how much they were ready to accept. And so he revealed himself by measure unto those that he believed, even as the Apostle Paul tells us. Amen. Brethren, again, I'd like to remind you all, first off, let me ask one final time, would anybody like to sing or give a poem or perhaps a testimony before we get started? A song or a poem or a testimony. Then I'll be red dotting the room and we'll get on with the lesson. Be prepared to put on the lipstick. Okay, brethren, as we begin the study, we're here in the book of Exodus chapter 13, and Moses has led Israel out of Egypt. And of course, as Moses is leading Israel out of Egypt, the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1 and 2, and says, sanctify unto me all the firstborn of Israel. Moses does that, and of course, he lets Israel know that they're going to have all these holy days in memorial of the things that the Lord had been giving them. And you know what? I red dotted, and let me do this, Leo. I red dotted, and in essence, when I red dotted, I didn't put the red dot text on. So the red dot, in essence, is keeping people from taking the mic. And you know what? I really don't know how to red dot and then allow somebody else in the room here to be able to post the scriptures. So, Leo and Karen, I can see that you can post scriptures, and it would be in Moses chapter 13, verse 21 and 22. Okay, good. All right, so we'll go like that, and then maybe one of y'all can explain that other. It worked. I don't know why. Israel out of Egypt, and he's bringing them out. Of course, the Lord gives the nation Israel and Moses these holy days, these celebration days, the days, for instance, the celebration of Passover and the celebration of the days of unleavened bread. And as we've mentioned before, as Israel's coming out of Egypt, God's going to put all these holy days up on before Israel, so that as they walk on in their life and in their following the things of the Lord, their calendar, as we're going to see, is going to be filled with holy days. It's going to be filled with days and times of the year that they're to come back and keep their mind, their focus, their attention on the things of the Lord. As their calendar is filled with the holy days of the Lord, it's most naturally, if they're going to the meetings and they're being taught the Word of God at the meetings, and they're celebrating all the fine days and the fine things that the Lord had done for them, that they're going to keep their mind focused on that throughout their history. And yet, of course, as he does that, he tells us, Exodus chapter 13, verse 9, Exodus chapter 13, verse 9, and it shall be, talking about these holy days and all, and it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand and for a memorial between thine eyes, and that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. And he reminds him again in verse 16. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. And for by strength of the hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. So God here is trying to keep the things that he's doing in front of the eyes, in front of the consciousness of that nation Israel. Brother, we have already studied this, of course, and we've already gone through all those passages that show that, and of course we reference that to ourselves in the dispensation of the grace of God when we know, and as we know, that as Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 tells us, that as we keep our mind, our focus, our attention on the things of the Spirit, the things that the Spirit of God has given us, both in His Word and in His indwelling Spirit in our soul, as we keep our mind, our focus, our attention on those things, we, most naturally, our body will follow our mind and we'll find ourselves walking in the things of the Lord. But He also warns us that if we keep our mind, our focus, our attention on the things of the flesh, it will be death to our spiritual life in Christ. It will be death to that life, that ever-loving, lasting life of God in us. It would be death to that. Like, because we'd be focusing on what we're doing and what everybody else is doing and on the law and on the flesh. And, of course, all that does is it keeps your mind off of Christ and it keeps your mind on ourselves. So that we have that comparison. So now then, as we see Israel coming out of Egypt, being following the things of the Lord, and as they're getting their walk in line with the things that the Lord is going to have for them, of course, we're going to find Israel time after time, just going through troublous times and just having a hard time following the things of the Lord, because what they end up doing is they end up getting their mind, their focus, their attention on the things that they have. Here. So God puts him, God goes up before him. Just imagine this. God goes out before him out of Egypt, and he goes out as a pillar of a cloud by day. And just imagine this great big cloud leading this whole nation out of Egypt, leading them out into the land that he promised them. It's a cloud by day and a fire by night. And not only that, remember, Israel's about to go through that terrible desert land out there where the heat just comes down. So we're going to see how this cloud could be a blessing to Israel. It could give them rain. It could cool them down, you know. We're going to see later how it's going to feed them bread, how the Lord's going to feed them bread out of that cloud, and he's going to blow quail in there. I mean, we're going to see how there could be absolute blessing to that nation if they would just simply follow faithfully in the things of the Lord as he leads them during the day by that cloud. But then again, for those in unbelief, we're going to see how that cloud can be it can be a cursing unto them. It's a light and a glory and a help to Israel, but as it jumps up behind, it goes behind Israel. Exodus chapter 14, verse 19, 20, 21. And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed, and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it, the cloud, look, came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So you see how again, this light with lightnings and thunders and just glory of the Lord that's within it could be a light unto Israel to keep Israel going in the direction that the Lord has for them, faithfully in the faith, and yet it could get behind Israel and it could be darkness to those that are in unbelief. And of course, we can go to even in the dispensation of the grace of God, we could reference real quickly over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 to 8. And we could talk as just as Paul does to us, for us in faith and in belief in the dispensation of the grace of God, we are walking in the light of the things of the Lord. But to them, to the unbelievers and to all that happened to the prophetic program, those folks were cut off because they were in darkness. They were walking in unbelief. And as they walked in unbelief, they have still yet a dark days yet to come. In prophecy, according to the dispensation of the ages to come, Hebrews through Revelation. So as we just quickly look through these things, this is just going to be such a really powerful revelation as the Lord reveals these truths to us. So as we look at this cloud and this fire by night, cloud by day and a fire by night, just follow me along here through the scriptures. As we study the scriptures, spiritual with spiritual, word with word, life with life, we're going to see how this revelation is, not only the revelation of God is revealed ever so much more clearly to the nation of Israel as God reveals himself more and more to that nation, but also as this issue of blessings and cursings become ever so much more evident to the nation of Israel. Remember Exodus chapter 14, as Moses is leading Israel out of Egypt, as he's leading them out of Egypt, all of a sudden Pharaoh realizes what mistake he had done, or how he had messed up according to the things of the world, how he had messed up by letting Israel go, and so he's going to turn around and he's going to go chasing down Israel. He wants to get them back under the bondage of the things of the world that they were being released from as they were following in the Lord. And so as Pharaoh comes running after him, you know, verse 9, Exodus 14:9, as Egypt comes running after him, of course the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen, his army, overtook them and camped by the sea beside Pahaharoth. Before Baal-Zephon, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children, look here, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians. Look at that. Israel. What's Israel supposed to do? They're supposed to keep their mind, their focus, their attention on the things of the Lord. What do they do here? They get their mind, their focus, their attention off the things of the Lord, and look, behold, the Egyptians. And Israel has this problem all through their life, just as we also end up messing up at times when we get our minds, our focus, our attention off the things of the Spirit. So Israel gets their eyes off God and what he's doing, and they get their eyes on the things of the world, and you know what they do? They said unto Moses, behold, there were no graves in Egypt. Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Is not this the word which we did tell you in Egypt? Verse 12, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Look at here, God taking Moses. I mean, take this simple man, Moses, and God's going to use Moses to lead Egypt, lead Israel into their blessings and into their land and into all the promises that God had. And as they're coming up against difficulty, Israel ends up fighting against the little man rather than realizing that Moses is simply carrying the message of God for them. So, isn't that how it works today? As you and I carry the Word of God, you know, the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. As you and I carry the simple message of the Lord our God in this dispensation, the very message of salvation to all the world, they don't argue against God, do they? They come at us with knives and spears and dirty words, you know. They don't, I mean, just calling us all kinds of names and everything else. Anything but to look to what the Lord's got for them. Look, so as this thing goes on, look here, we're going to go over here to Exodus chapter 19. As the Lord chooses again to reveal himself a little bit more to Israel, there's a purpose that the Lord has chosen to reveal himself even more to Israel in Exodus chapter 19. Of course, he's going to reveal the law to Israel, Exodus chapter 20, starting with the Ten Commandments, verse 1 through 7. You're going to have the Ten Commandments there. As God reveals that law to Israel, he's revealing his very own holiness as he gives that to Israel. And just as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7, verse 12, look at the law. Paul tells us the law is holy and just and good. That law, within the law that God revealed to Israel, not just the Ten Commandments, but the whole law, the 613 laws and judgments and ordinances and their worshiping services, God reveals all his holiness. Matter of fact, God reveals all that Christ was to that nation, and there's so many typologies there. that show Christ and all that Christ is yet to do for Israel and us, even in the future yet to come from Exodus. So as we look at that, God's going to show himself to Israel. Look at this. Exodus chapter 19, verse 9. Remember, God's leading on in the cloud by day and the fire by night. And as he does this, notice it. As Israel comes over here into Sinai, God's going to come down on this mountain. Now look at this. Follow closely these words in these passages. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come to thee in a thick cloud. Notice, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Again, verse 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended up as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him in a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, and the top of Mount and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. I love it. Moses went up. You know, God, so often in the Bible, the mountain stands for the kingdom. You know, either the kingdom of the Lord or the kingdoms of the Lord, or in other instances, the kingdoms of the worldly kingdoms on the earth. This mountain, the Lord comes down to the mountaintop, and Moses goes up. Doesn't that bring you back to Revelation chapter 11, verse 12, where God speaks to Moses, "Come up hither, come up hither," and Moses goes up. You know, he raptures out. Moses does, and Elijah. Anyhow, coming back to the issue here, as God's revealing himself to Israel, remember, God's going to reveal himself as he knows he ought to reveal himself. Look here, verse 9, Exodus 19:9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. That, you see that word that there? That word that means purpose and intent. That the people may hear when I speak with thee, notice, and believe thee. See there? Forever. Of course, when in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up in his earthly ministry to that nation Israel, time and time and time again, he points back to Moses. And he says, remember when Moses told you that? Remember when Moses tells you this? In the books of Hebrews through Revelation, the Lord, through his prophets, John, Peter, James, and the writer of Hebrews and Jude, they take and they keep pointing to the works and the law and the things that Moses gave them. You know what? God says that they're going to remember him and believe him forever. This word is promised to last forever. So God says, look here, I'm showing myself both to you, but mostly to Israel, that they will believe you. Do you see that, brother? Do you see the power in that simple little word, that? And also, wow, you got to count all the words in your Bible if you're going to believe what the Lord's doing there, and that you can get in context all that Lord is doing in his word throughout the scriptures. So here, God's showing himself to Israel that they would believe Moses. And what did God tell us today? You know, God tells us today that he reveals himself to us in his word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10:17, right? And as he does that, he says, Galatians chapter 3, he tells the believers there in Galatia and ourselves also, that as we read the scriptures, as we read his word, Jesus Christ, it's as if we're there witnessing Jesus Christ on the cross. It's there as if we're right there with him. We're told that the word is more sure word of prophecy. 1 Peter. It's a more sure word of prophecy than all those experiences. Brethren, and yet God today, he reveals this word to us, and then what does he have us do? As the Apostle Paul says, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, God's given us the gift of this ministry with all the problems and with all the heartache and with all the troubles that can come onto us for simply preaching the Word of God and this wonderful gospel of the grace of God in this dispensation, in the one which we now live, this ministry, Paul tells us, is a gift, and isn't it so, brethren, that the Lord our God can use the likes of you and me to carry His Word out to an unbelieving world, even after the fall of the nation of Israel, even after Israel had failed in everything that God had set them up as a kingdom of priests and prophets and kings, as His kingdom to reveal God to the whole world, even after Israel had failed miserably. And of course Israel was to reveal God to the world. Since Israel failed, Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 tells us, that Israel was there to reveal God to the world. Since Israel failed, how was Israel ever going to reveal God to the world if Israel didn't believe in themselves? So God says, because of that reason, Romans chapter 11, verse 11 through 15, because they had walked in unbelief, God says that He cast them aside temporarily, that now He saves both Jew and Gentile in the same manner, and with the same blessing, and that all men can be saved, Jew and Gentile alike, and that we're saved and sealed, we can receive our position and our place in Christ equally, both Jew and Gentile, because of Israel's unbelief, because of their failure. So here, going back to the book of Exodus, as God's revealing Himself to that nation Israel, look here, He's going to tell Israel, He tells Moses to tell Israel, tell the people to stay off. Tell them to stay away from the mountain. You know, not to enter the kingdom. In Genesis chapter 11, you have as God is revealing Himself to Adam and Eve and their children, He tells them to multiply and spread throughout the whole earth. And what do they do over there? They go to one place over there in Babylon, and they build one kingdom, and they build the city, and they got the doctrine of the city. And rather than spreading out through the earth, what do? They build a tower unto the heavens. God wants them to fill the earth, and they're trying to get to heaven to meet God, and to get to God there, not doing what God would have them to do, but what they would like to do in their own heart. You know, isn't that the way a man, you know, is unbelief and just simple rejection of the things of the Lord? Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. Look here, brother. God here, in Exodus 19, as He shows Himself to Israel that they will believe Moses, He reminds Moses, He says, verse 21, Exodus 19, 21, and the Lord said unto Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. Look here, we're talking about these blessings and cursings that the Lord has for Israel and for the other nations of the world, according to their belief. So God tells Israel to stay away from the mountain. Do not come near. And so he tells them that in verse 12 of Exodus 19. And so He's going to remind Moses here, and He's given Moses the word, so Moses goes down and tells Israel, you know, to stay off the mountain, to stay down from off the mount, and He says, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. You see what that word gaze, you look that up in your dictionary. It's an English word. It's an equal with the Hebrew word that's used there, but that word to gaze, if you look that up in your dictionary, it says it's to discern. It says it's to study, to study intently. You know, you toss the thing over and over again, you gaze at it, you get to figure out what the whole thing's all about. And God says here that the nation Israel is not quite ready for that yet. He's going to reveal Himself to them in His way and in His manner. Brother, even today, in the ministry today, as God has given us His completed, preserved, perfected Word of God, as He's given it to you and me, right? He's given it to me, you and me, and He says to take His Word out to the world and to preach that, right? And what does the religious system want to do? What does the religious system want to do? They want to take and they want to say, well, they want to see the Lord. You know, they want to handle the Lord. They want to get all those physical things that God was once giving Israel, even when God is not letting Israel know all that He has and all that He is for them. You know what? They want to step back and say, They want to go back to a time when they could even handle the Lord as they did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as Peter tells us in 2 Peter. They even handled the Lord, you know? They handled him that came to say, you know, to be their king and their... But yet God tells us that that thing is not anywhere near as powerful as the revelation of the Word is unto us. So just to compare these things, you see, brethren, as we study the Scriptures, there's three main aspects to our study in the things of the Lord. There's three main strategies to take as you come to learn anything. You learn it through repetition, right? You go over it over and over and over and over and over again, right? And as you go over it, you know, finally that thing goes through your mind and it settles down and you get a recollection of what you're looking at. Another thing to do is you take it and you toss it, you discern it, you gaze upon it, you study it and you turn it over and over, you know, from all angles. And you apply, as you apply that new thought or that new doctrine to everything else that you know, you will come to learn it by association, don't you? You come to learn it in association to everything else that you know. You know, a door is made of wood. A door is made of wood, and wood comes from a tree, and the tree grows out of... I mean, you put all that together, and you get to have more understanding about what your door is made of and where it came from and everything else. It works the same thing in the Lord's Word. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God gives the first revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's going to come of the seed of the woman, and he's going to crush that serpent. And then yet, as you go down through the Scriptures, you see God revealing himself more and more. That's what we're studying here, is God revealing himself to Israel. And so here, as we go down here in the passage, he's saying, look it, hold back. You're not ready to know all that I have for you as yet. And if you try to come at me in a way other than how I'm revealing myself to you, it's going to be a punishment unto you. It's going to be a curse unto you, right? Isn't that what he's telling Israel? And so then again, this revelation, we have the difference between blessing. Isn't it a blessing to get to know the Lord in the way that he'd have them know? I mean, he's going to give them his law. He's going to give them the full revelation of himself. He's sitting there as a pillar in front of them by day and a fire by night. I mean, he's giving them what he knows they need. Again, as he goes on, look at a little bit later, he's going to reveal himself further. But let's jump back for a moment back to Exodus chapter 3. Notice here, that back here in Exodus chapter 3, God's going to reveal more of what that fire has to do. That fire that's going before Israel by night, you know, as God reveals himself back here to Moses from at the very beginning, Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Look at here, brother. That bush that's burning there, we're going to look at some verses in a moment, that you'll see that bush was actually a vine, and it was in typology of the nation Israel. You know, here, the fire is there ready to burn. It can be a blessing or a curse. And God, that we're going to see is a consuming fire. Here, God, and all that he is burning on that bush, and the bush was not consumed. And it's to be the same thing for the believers in Israel. But notice here, as God's revealing himself to Moses here, from the very beginning of the book of Exodus, Moses comes over there, and God says, you're on holy ground. And he says, take off your shoes. Can you imagine this? Get a load of this. I forgot what Brother Liam put up there on the board. Well, you don't say, get a load of this. You say, I love the way you say that. Anyhow, I can't think of it right now. Get a grip on this. Get a grip on this. All right? As Brother Leo says. He says, put off thy shoes. You know what shoes are? Shoes are a work of man. God's going to reveal himself to Moses. Moses is standing on holy ground, ground that's set apart for God. And God says, get those shoes off. Get that work, get your works out from between my revelation to you and your coming to me. Get the things that are concerning what you can do, get them out from between us. Isn't that something? Get your shoes off, man. Take them off. That way there's nothing getting in the way between what God has for Moses and for Israel, and Moses is going to be able to get a clear connection. He's going to be able to get a grip on that without the leather or the rubber or whatever getting in between. Anyhow, here, God's going to reveal himself to Moses, and he's revealing himself to this bush. Now look at, in that bush, in the progression of Revelation, that book that is burning with fire, imagine that. Fire burning on a bush, and the bush isn't consumed. You know, even with man's doings, you know, we take a candle, a piece of rope, and we wrap it in wax, and we light the top of the rope, but even as the rope burns within the wax, it's as if it isn't being consumed, but as it burns hour after hour, day after day, slowly but surely, that wick is burned, isn't it? That little rope is burned. We can't do what God can do. God is going to save that nation. Go over here to Judges chapter 9, verse 12. Judges chapter 9, verse 12. Well, Judges chapter 9, we might as well start from verse 1 there, just to get you settled in on what's going on here. This God is showing here the son of Jerubbaal, he says, in Judges chapter 9, verse 1. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and communed with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, and then he's going to go on here, Abimelech is going to try to fool Israel. And as he's out there to fool Israel, it says here that he's the son of Jerubbaal. Who is Jerubbaal? Well, if you go back here to chapter 7, verse 1, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, and so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Merar in the valley. Look at Gideon is Jerubbaal. That's who Jerubbaal is. He's a son of Abraham. Okay? Genesis chapter 25, verse 2. Gideon, or Jerubbaal, is a son of Abraham. But he's not the son that was promised the blessings. He's not in that family line. So he's getting jealous of all that Israel is being blessed by, and his brothers and sisters that were within the line, which were within the elect, and he's going to come down here, and he's going to try to fool Israel. And as he tries to fool Israel, as he tells this to the men of Shechem, the nation Israel, notice verse 6. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of the mount in Gerizim, and lifted up his voice, and cried, and said unto them, hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. Here, Gideon's sons and the people that Gideon had set up over that nation Israel, 70 of them, Abimelech comes in there, even after all that Gideon had done to destroy the Midianites and their rule over Israel, Abimelech comes up over here and he wants to lead that nation. And he's going to do it. He's going to do it by killing off the people that the very elders that Gideon had set up over that nation. And yet one of the children escaped. And his name was Jotham. And so Jotham's going to go down there. He's going to tell them he's going to prophesy a judgment that they're going to receive of the Lord. And notice, Jotham does this, he's going to use a representative of trees standing for those that are of the Lord, the men of the Lord. And he says, the trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, the trees. These are the people and the tribes of the nation of Israel. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? And the tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. And the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine and which cheereth God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto them, if in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. Here, this bramble, which stands for the unbelievers, which stands for that of the Antichrist. You know, a bramble gets blown about with the wind. Whichever way the wind blows, it just blows it. Where, you know, unlike those in the faith in the Lord and the strength of the Lord, this bramble gets blown everywhere, and they're going to get blown with it, the nation Israel. And the people are going to get blown whichever way, and they're going to look for the shadow of the bramble to help them out in their hard times. And of course, as we all know, that doesn't come about. But to get back to this tree that this bush that was burning there when the Lord showed himself to Moses. It says down here in the passage in verse 12, then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. That vine tree, as we carry it through the scriptures, we're going to see that it stands for a typology. It's a figure of the nation Israel. So let's take a look at a couple other verses here. That vine tree was the nation Israel, and just as God's fire was burning on that bush, just as we saw God was could be a blessing to Israel or a curse to Israel, so it could be a curse and a blessing to that fig tree in like typology. Go over here to Psalm chapter 80, verse 8. We're just going to carry some verses through so you can see that I'm just not talking out of my own skull, okay? I'm just not telling you these things for enjoyment. I'm trying to help you see how to study your Bible. Verse with verse, spiritual with spiritual, word with word, line upon line, and so on and so forth. Look here, go over here to Psalm chapter 80. Psalm chapter 80, verse 8. As we put these verses together, the revelation becomes more and more clear, just as the Lord's revelation to the nation Israel is going to yet become more and more clear. Psalm chapter 80, verse 8. Now, look here, as this prayer is going towards the Lord, there's a comparison between Israel and what the Lord is doing with them. Verse 8, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. You see there? Thou preparest room before it, and did cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. That vine tree, God is said that he took it out of Egypt. What did God take out of Egypt? He took the nation Israel out, didn't he? Just another comparison here. Boy, some of my writing gets rather small. Let's look at this one. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Hosea. I thought Hosea was four books to the right of Daniel. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. Maybe it was Hosea's the first one after Daniel. I messed up there. Amos was the fourth. Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. This bush, take a look at this. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly in it. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty, etc., etc. Here, Israel, as they're falling away from the things of the Lord, Look it, brethren. Could you find a more clear verse? Israel is an empty vine. It's an empty vine. We'll go again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. You see, let's go to Exodus 33:18 first. Exodus 33:18-19-20. As God reveals himself to Israel, God's going to reveal himself to Moses. We're going to find as God's revealing himself to Israel, he wants Israel to shine forth the very glory of himself. And as he does this, Israel will one day show that forth. But looky here. Moses, as Moses is looking to get more and more revelation from the Lord, as he trusts in the Lord, and the Lord realizes that Moses is trusting in the Lord, that the Lord is going to reveal more of himself to him, and that, looky here, how as the Lord reveals himself to Moses, even more than he has ever done before, the glory will go from the Lord unto Moses. Look here, Exodus chapter 13, but here, the Lord's going to hold Moses back just a little bit. Look here. Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. And he said, I beseech ye, show me thy glory. Here's Moses talking to the Lord. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. You know what? To make all the goodness of the Lord pass before is to have the name of the Lord pass before, verse with verse and spiritual with spirit, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face. Look here. This angel of the Lord said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Wow. There's no man that can see the Lord and his holiness and his goodness and live at this time in history. Verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face thou shalt not see, not be seen. Look here, the Lord is going to reveal more of himself yet to Moses, and yet he's going to hold his hand up while his front parts were him, because there's only so much yet that Moses is capable, is ready to receive at the moment. So as he does this, yet there was going to be a time when the Lord was going to reveal himself to Moses and to the rest of the nation of Israel, and he was going to reveal himself clearly. By the time we get to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we have the Lord Jesus Christ taking on flesh and being born within that nation. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. I missed a verse here somewhere. Where did I miss it? That's not the verse. Hold on just a moment, please. I'm sorry, Karen. I went too fast. Go back here to Exodus chapter 35. This was the verse I had started to speak of a moment ago, and then I lost it, and now I lost it again. Exodus chapter 35, verse 24. Exodus chapter 35, verse 24. God's going to reveal himself even more to Israel. Exodus chapter 35, verse 24. Down to Moses. That's not it. No, I can't. That's not it. Brethren, I'm just going to figure, you all know the verse. There's a place when I don't know why I can't find it. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. As God, again, is revealing himself to Moses in the mountain. Notice here. Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand. Look here. Here's the Lord giving Moses even more revelation of himself, even the very law that contained the very righteousness and life of God in it. As Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with two tables of the testimony got in Moses' hand, and when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. While God talked with Moses, Moses was so close to the glory of the Lord, and as God was revealing himself to Moses, Moses, by the sheer recognition of all that God was, and all his glory, and all his righteousness, look at it, his very own skin of his own face shone. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, now what are they looking at? Now what are they looking at when they're looking at Moses, right? Now what have they got their attention at? Look at, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. Brethren, isn't that a revelation? Even as the Lord, even as the world recognizes all the life of God in you. As he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 16, as you read and study and learn and have revealed to you all that God has for you in this dispensation, you take on. God says it's as if you're looking in a glass. It's as if you're looking in a mirror. The very glory of the Lord is reflected onto you. That's what's happening to Moses here. Moses, whom the children of Israel for so long had been fighting against and holding grudges against because he was leading them in the way of the Lord, yet they wouldn't come to the Lord for that. As they see the very glory of the righteousness of God shining on Moses, glory to glory, right? Glory to glory, the same as his word does unto us, the nation Israel were afraid to come nigh unto him, rather than trusting in him and trusting in all that the Lord had yet ready to reveal unto them in his time. They were afraid of it. And so then, of course, as you go down through the passage, Moses puts a veil over his face. And even Paul talks about this. He put a veil over his face. When Moses went in before the Lord, he'd take the veil off. And when he come out, he put the veil on it so that, as Moses tells, the children of Israel would not see that which was yet to go away. Because they were going to break the law. They were going to break all the revelation that the Lord had for them to witness to. As he says here in verse 34 and 35 of Exodus 34, but when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and he spake unto the children of Israel that which was commanded. And the children of Israel saw that the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put a veil upon his face again until he went to speak with him, with the Lord again. And Moses, and Paul describes to us, Paul explains to us that Moses could put that veil over his face according to that which was going to be done away with, because they were going to break those commandments. They were going to break all that wonderful, glorious revelation that the Lord had for them. Again, blessings and cursing. Blessing and cursing. Here. Judges. Go over here to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Here, within this cloud and within the fire, within the speaking to the Lord and speaking to Moses and speaking to Israel, it speaks of this angel of the Lord that comes and goes before the nation. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. That's how you can remember where the book of Judges is at. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Judges chapter 6. Look here, Judges chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Judges chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Again, this is the Lord revealing himself to Gideon, right? The one who was going to deliver Israel out from under Midian. He says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told of us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and hath delivered us into the hands of the Midians. And look here, this simple man, Midian, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said, O my Lord, whither shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am lean in my father's house. And the Lord said to them, surely I will be with thee. Brethren, look who's behind the work being done for Israel. Look at the fire that's going to burn around Israel, and it's not only going to protect Israel, it's going to purify Israel, as we'll see a little later, but it's also going to protect Israel from their enemies, and it's going to deliver Israel out from underneath their enemies. And you know what? He's going to use the simplest, he's going to use the very quaintest of men. I mean, think about 1 and 2 Samuel. The Lord picks out David, a man after his own heart. And yet David stands there as this little child. And yet God's going to use him. Solomon. Solomon, David's son, when Solomon was just a young child and just minor in the things of the Lord. And the Lord's going to use the meek and kind and yet faithful, and he's going to, by the revelation of the Lord and what the Lord is doing in this creation, he is going to strengthen them. It's going to be the Lord doing the work. You know what? And men, look at us. Men, look at us. And you know, I've been to a lot of conferences, and I've been to a lot of grace churches. And you go to the grace churches, and you find these quaint little bitty buildings, you know, no dress, no pomp, no display, you know, a gravel driveway if they got any type of a parking lot at all, if it's not grass, you know, and mud and slop, they got a little gravel driveway, a little gravel parking lot, and these quaint little buildings, and sometimes they've got the quaintest, littlest, smallest little assemblies, you know, they're not the great big brick and glass, stained glass, you know, the Roman Catholic Church and the mighty pillars in front, you know, and all the pomp, you know. Those that are of the Lord so often come in just the simplest folk, you know. And I'll tell you, if we had a picture of one another, we'd have a good look at that, wouldn't we? We'd have a real quick good look at that, wouldn't we? I mean, we're not the fashionables of the worldly system. We're not those in the high fashion world, and we're not those that have all the pomp and that. Many times, as we put our resources and our abilities and the things that we have to that of the Lord and what He's doing, you find the very same quaintness and meekness of the believers in the world. Here, as we go on in the study here, Judges chapter 6. We see here that the Lord's going to use Gideon in verses 21 to 23. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock. Fire out of the rock. You ever hear the Lord Jesus Christ as described as the rock? Most certainly you have. There's fire out of the rock. And consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, look here, brethren, here's a big change in the program. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, he was the Lord's pre-transfigured face, his transfigured manifestation, his pre-born manifestation. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face," and the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." The Lord, Gideon, had seen the Lord, and the Lord revealed himself to Gideon at this time in history in the book of Judges, as the Lord is bringing Israel ever so much closer to their land and to their nation and to get all that he had promised them. God's revealing more of himself to Gideon. Gideon sees the Lord face to face, and the Lord promises Gideon, "You shall not die." Gideon's not going to be cursed by getting more of a revelation at this time, right? That's different. Again, then now, from this point, we go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We go to the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where the Lord's going to reveal himself even further to the nation Israel. He's going to reveal himself to the nation Israel in a way that he had prophesied he was going to throughout the Old Testament there. And as he does so, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And behold, a virgin," verse 23, "shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted as God with us. Jesus Christ, his name Jesus there. In Matthew chapter 1:21, that's the same word translated from the Greek, the same word for God as is translated from the Hebrew in Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. We saw that in one of our earlier studies here in our Old Testament survey when God revealed himself to Moses at the beginning in verse 14 of Exodus chapter 3. And God said to Moses, "I am that I am. Thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." That's the same name, the name Jehovah, used in Exodus chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Same name, same word, same God. God revealing himself even more to Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As a man, everybody can see him there, can't they? Everybody can see Jesus Christ. And you know, as Jesus Christ rose up and kept the law, and kept it and didn't break it and never sinned, you can be sure that people noticed who Jesus Christ was as he walked amongst them. There was something different about this guy Jesus, this man Jesus, this Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He was revealing himself to Israel. And of course, just as they refused Moses, they also refused Jesus Christ, their Lord, their God, their Messiah. John chapter 20, verse 28. After Jesus Christ was crucified and rose from the dead, John chapter 20, verse 28. I love this verse, and I know you all do also. Here, God revealing himself, the Son of God revealing himself to Israel, but first to the disciples up in the upper room. As Jesus shows himself, verse 26, after 8 days, again, these disciples were within, and Thomas with them, when came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of, and said to them, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, have you ever heard the little saying, doubting Thomas? Thomas doubted whether or not the resurrected form of the Lord Jesus Christ that the other brethren and Mary had saw. Doubting Thomas doubted whether or not that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Thomas said that he needed to stick his finger in his hole in the holes and in his side. And so Jesus Christ shows up to Thomas, then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God." Thomas had no doubt then, did he? Brethren, he had faith. And just as I know we have faith in the things of the Lord as he reveals himself to us in his word, as if from glory to glory in a glass, in a mirror. Here, Jesus Christ revealing himself to Israel on his time and on his schedule. a mixed warnings of judgments, cursings, and blessings. Israel, they could be cursed through it by believing, or I'm sorry, they could be blessed by it by believing and walking in the things of the Lord, or they could be cursed from the revelation of the Lord as they walked in unbelief to the things that the Lord had. Brethren, at the end, by the time God is through, finished, with revealing himself to that nation, to set up his kingdom on the earth as he had promised from the very beginning, of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As we get to the end of the book of the revelation of God to man, in the book of Revelation, look you over here. Well, let's go to, I'm sorry, again, brother, sister Karen, let's first stop, I'm sorry, in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. God's promising in Israel that he's going to reveal himself to them, and when he does, they're going to shine forth the very glory of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 60, verse, well, let's start Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Speaking of the nation Israel. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, Israel, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Israel, the glory of the Lord is one day promised to shine off of and out of Israel, the nation, and the people of the nation themselves. Just as Moses' face had shone back there in the book of Exodus, by the light of the life of God, even close to him, revealing himself to him, here in the last days of the earthly kingdom program, according to prophecy, Israel, all of Israel is going to shine forth that light, and the Gentiles are going to come to that brightness, to that sunshine. You know, those that are looking for life are going to go to the light. They're going to run from the darkness, and they're going to go to the light. And Israel was to be that light. Revelation chapter, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. I'm sorry, let's just do that. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, Israel. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy God, Israel, your God, thy God, will be thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Let's go now to the book of Revelation. At the end of the revelation, as Lord gives it to all the world through that nation Israel, by that nation Israel, Revelation 21, verse 22 to 24. As God is revealing to Israel that holy city, Jerusalem, that is promised to come down from the heavens, from the third heavens even, as it sits up there right now, as that holy city comes down into and settles down like a hand into a glove over there in the Mediterranean area, over there in Jerusalem, that holy city's going to settle down over there, and the new earth, and as the new heavens are planned and formed for the church body of Christ, the new earth is formed for that nation Israel and all the peoples and Gentiles of the earth. Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 to 24. And I saw no temple therein. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Glory to God. Brethren, that fire, that light, as we're looking at it here in the book of Exodus, and we still have much more to study in this issue yet. We're going to study how it is that that cloud could both be a blessing and a cursing to that nation Israel, just as the fire was could be a cursing and blessing to Israel. Yet we have to finish up. We're going to show yet how that fire was going to be a cursing yet. It was going to be a cursing for all those that walked in unbelief according to the Lord. And then even further, that fire was going to be a curse unto those of unbelief within the nation Israel. But yet we can see how the revelation that the Lord has for His creation could be ever so much light and ever so much blessing. We're also going to see, as we finish up this issue on the fire and the light, we're going to see how that is the very fire that is going to refine Israel. It's going to burn out the dross. Just as when a welder takes a rod of a welding alloy and he welds two pieces of metal together, as the welder uses the fire of the acetylene or the fire of the electrical element, he uses it and he brings those two pieces of metal together from the extreme heat and from some of the purity that comes out of that, the joining of those two metals, there's a leftover dross. They call it a dross or a flux. And that dross is just settles on top and it chips away. All the impurities are taken out of the binding together of those two metals. So it's going to be as God refines that nation Israel to go into that wonderful blessed kingdom that He has waiting for them. He's going to burn out all the dross, all the unbelief, all that, all the sin, and all that is unworthy of Him, and He's going to bring in that kingdom that is going to be nothing but blessings and wonder and all glory to Him, as everyone in the earthly kingdom shine forth the very glory of the Lord, just as the church body of Christ will be showing forth His glory in the heavenly kingdoms promised in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, that as we go to meet the Lord in the air, we're going to shine forth His very glory as He is able to well, I'm just going to read the verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is even able to subdue all things unto Himself. One day we'll have that glory also. Glory that everyone will see. And yet we have a glory even now as we hold forth His gospel and we shine it forth and we send it forth and we preach it forth as ambassadors for the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 20. As we shine forth that word that shows the very glory of the Lord, we have the opportunity to have all men and women believe and join in with the Church of the Body of Christ. Brother, again, let's thank Father. And Father, we thank You so much for all these blessings. We thank You for all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ that are ours now, the very moment we believe. In the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. The moment we believe, we are changed. We are changed, we are baptized, we are identified, we are sealed in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. We are sealed in Him, and Father, we thank You for all these wonderful blessings that will reach on out through eternity as we walk one and one with the Lord, us being the body and He being the head. We have such a wonderful blessings in Christ that we become heirs with Him. We thank You for all this, Father. We thank You for all these blessings. Just a minute. Please don't PM me for a moment. We thank You for more than anything, Father, of course, for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for us that had no sin, that we might have the life of God in us. We pray it and thank You for all this in Christ's name. Amen and amen.